Let's say 10 products, for example. 10 products per month are going by your e-commerce business. Obviously, this depends on where you are in your e-commerce journey. You don't necessarily need to go via the wholesalers. Obviously, things like sizing or boxing, like you correctly mentioned, how it helps when you're directly in communication with these distributors is one, it builds a rapport. Second, you are more in command of what's happening with your product. You are a little more in control because there's direct access.
So, hey guys, this is Mohit here. Once again, welcome to another episode of Blash E-commerce Growth Academy. I'm super excited to have Gaurika with us. Gaurika has been heading Rap and Weft, right? An exclusive brand who deals with a very premium niche sector, dealing with hand-woven fabrics, right, from Banaras, right? So very glad to have you, Gaurika, here. Super excited to for this session, and we get to learn many things from you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's lovely being here.
Excellent, excellent, right? So, to start with, it is always good to start with a brief story, how it all happened, or what's the brief journey it looks about. So yeah,
Right.
good.
So, Warp and Weft, it was started by my mother. It's a 26-year-old business, and we have been dealing with hand-woven textiles for the past, 26 years. And very small story on why she started it. So my mother herself is from Banaras. So after she got married, she moved to Bombay. And through her childhood, she has always been surrounded with textiles, with fabrics, with her mother herself, my grandmother was always very fond of textiles. So she would always wear a sari to work and those kind of things. So my mother herself has been immersed in the world of textiles from a very young age, in the world of handwoven textiles from a very, very young age. And after moving to Bombay, she kind of felt that there was a little a gap for handwoven textiles in Mumbai at the time. And she took it upon herself to bring that essence of weaves to Mumbai to establish sort of the handwoven world, as one could say. So that's where Warp and Weft started 26 years ago. And we've been doing it, like I said, for a very, very long time. And after my own education and me myself, I have grown up also because of her, surrounded by textiles. So you kind of already pick up, you get a knack of it, one could say. And it is in the genes. That's another thing. So I kind of, I told her, I said, I would really like to join you and be part of this creative, beautiful world, one could say. And I have worked before in the corporate sector, and I must say it's very nice to come to an office that's full of colors rather than just your cubicles of the grays and the whites. But I joined her, I've been with her for a while now, and we're hopefully scaling it and expanding and in taking handwoven textiles to every doorstep, one could say, if we could. So that's essentially Warp and Weft in a nutshell.
Lovely, very exciting. Incidentally, I was heading an e-commerce venture, a couple of years back, right? And I did go to Banaras, right, where I actually met some of the carriers and trying to understand. And I found it extremely complex that how do you even digitize these things? Right? Means you are producing something which is extremely good. And I would love to know that, how did you think that, okay, selling it in a store, in a retailer, I get that. But converting this thing over, digital, right? Getting into an e-commerce platform where you have distribution, you get the things, on your place, couriers, logistics, right? So, but, how did you manage all these things in the
So to be very honest, we did not have an online platform until COVID hit.
Okay.
Because like I said, it's 26 years old. We have a flagship that we, if I didn't mention before, enjoy in Mumbai. So in terms of, we used to do more traditional means of marketing, which was one, obviously the most, magazines and newspapers and, I mean, at the time also styling also picked up a little after, styling celebrities, et cetera, picked up a little more once your Instagram kind of came into play, social media came into play. But we would mostly focus on that aspect and word of mouth, obviously. And then COVID hit, and somehow we felt a lack to reach our overseas customers at the time because there was so much limitation on hours or office hours or lockdown or that whole sort of issue of communication sort of came up. I mean, there were times during COVID because everyone was in lockdown, right? And at least in the first wave, I used to stay up till 4 or 5 in the morning just WhatsApping my customers, trying to be like, "Would you like? Would you like?" Because everyone was sitting at home, especially the women. They were all sitting at home, and they're like, "Okay, whatever. Let's say funding we would have had for our holidays, or those kind of things that you save up for." Then you're like, "Okay, what do we do with our free time? Let's spend. Let's shop. Let's do something. Let's do something for ourselves." So we had so many women who just wanted to buy certain fabrics that they had they eye on before, and they didn't, or certain sarees or certain lehengas and things like that. And then I kind of decided, I said, "No, I don't think I can do the 4 or 5 AMs anymore. I think let's develop the website." So that's where the thought of going online, having an online platform, an e-commerce platform, came into play. And it was very quick. It wasn't something that we took a lot of time with. It wasn't something that we spent months deciding what to do. Having a business, that is 26 years old, a lot of logistics that one would initially have to figure out were kind of already dealt with. For example, delivery issues, payments happening, not happening, understanding currencies, all those kind of detailing that one would do was already a knowledge that we had. So the only focus of ours at the time was making sure that we put our products out there, and we have we'd like to. So since we've been specializing in handloom for 26 years, there is a trust. If you even, if anyone happens to stumble upon our website, if you see our products, you can see the quality
Absolutely.
through the images. And the main focus that we had when we were developing our website is, come what may, that quality must shine. We have to show our consumers that it is the Wop & Weft stamp that we have enjoyed for years, is reflected onto the website. So I think it took about maybe 2.5 to 3 months in only from just, we knew how to. I mean, we had so much communication with our clients in advance, right? What imagery works on them, even if it's a picture on WhatsApp or a catalog that's shared. So we had all of that knowledge, a lot of research. So it's just easy to kind of put it onto now what you can see as our e-commerce platform.
Lovely, lovely. I think one of the key items which you touched upon, right? Like, how do you manage the deliveries, right? You deal with, overseas customers, right? And managing deliveries, logistics, warehouses, one of the very, very crucial, vertical, right? Which actually leads to profitability or probably another loss in any D2C or e-commerce vertical, right? So talk to hear about your learnings around here that, how do you one, plan for these things? What are the, top 5 things which you'll do, right, around managing your warehouse and logistics?
So the biggest thing that comes into play when it comes to warehousing is inventory management. Because we not only enjoy an e-commerce platform, we also have an offline platform. So what happens sometimes, you do have an overlap with, at least for us currently, what is online versus what is offline. What can be in my store today is also online tomorrow. There is, I would say, the biggest emphasis would be inventory for a retail space like us, right?
Correct.
Because, very small, very minute issues like, okay, a certain piece of fabric has sold for X meterage online, but when we check store, maybe a client has come yesterday and purchased from that piece of fabric as well. So now there's a discrepancy on what was purchased online versus what is in store. So how, those kind of issues, which can be very easily overlooked, but can create a very big issue. You can also have someone who comes back saying, "Okay, now that you're not providing me with what I've ordered, I don't want the order entirely." Which results, which is a much bigger loss than someone saying, "Hey, I've received something a little later than expected." So inventory management, I would say, is very important. What we, what I would recommend, and what we also plan on implementing in the future, is make sure that there is, for example, whatever is in your online space is not what is in your offline space. So keep all products that are online, online focused, and let the offline be offline to avoid these kind of little, but, you know, long-term loss creating issues. And also accessibility is a big factor when it comes to warehouse. So if you do choose to, for example, our warehouse is our store. So even if something is online that is not offline, it is still in my store. So I'm not bearing any external storage costs or, you know, any extra space. If one can do that, you know, maybe make your, you know, for other companies, if you can, you know, create space within your own office or things like that, that would really, you know, assist in warehouse managing and logistics. Because unless you're really big, like unless you're like an Amazon, like you do require a warehouse, right? You do require multiple of them as well. It just depends on how, you know, big your company is at the time and what you can and can't manage. That's all I would say. It's not very hard. Just be on top of it. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, many of our customers do bring this pain point, right? Like, you know, in terms of the sizing, packaging, because it costs money. You know, how do you package it, right? So there is a US brand which, you know, which started sending these, you know, house cleaning stuff, right? Rather than a bottle, but in a sachet, right? Just to reduce the shipping cost. So some of these things do matter in terms of logistics stuff, right? But you know, so if I am a D2C brand and I have to devise a strategy, right? Like, you know, how do I choose my providers, right? On what would be my decision pointers to, you know, devise my logistic and warehousing strategy, right? What would be, you know, top 3-4 things which you would suggest?
In terms of providers, when you come to warehouse and strategy, so there are two factors, right? In this, you either directly go, for example, to a DHL or a Blue Dart and you're in direct communication with them. Mm-hmm. Or you speak to what one calls wholesalers when it comes to, you know, all of this, which, you know, tend to, in terms of, if I have to tell you in a very detail, in terms of cost management, that seems to work out a lot better. But it also depends on what is the, how many products are you actually, when you have an e-commerce business, at least at the beginning, are you sending out?
Okay.
So for example, if you have less than maybe 5 to 6, so let's say 10 products, for example, 10 products per month are going via your e-commerce business. Obviously, this depends on where you are in your e-commerce journey. You know, you don't necessarily need to go via the wholesalers. Obviously, things like sizing of boxing, like you correctly mentioned, how wide it is, how big it is it going to be a box, can it be a packet, can it be, you know, all of those little cut corners here and there, you can do that. How it helps when you're directly in communication with these distributors is, one, it builds a rapport. Second, you are more in command of what's happening with your product. You are a little more in control because there's direct access. But however, if you have you know, a business that is scaling at a very high rate, then I would suggest to assist with costs, or, you know, going via wholesalers is sort of better for the long run.
Okay. Yeah. Any pointers that, you know, you would have faced challenges, you would have had bad experiences initially when you started all these things, at least on a digital space concerning to logistics or warehouse, right? any deep learnings here?
So, like I said, since we had been doing it for 26 years, we didn't have any bad experiences. And we directly, for a while, had been using like a Blue Dart. It's a known name. You know, if you tell a client that, you know, your package will be delivered by a Blue Dart, okay, it's safe. You know, there's no worry. Especially when you're dealing with women, you know, they always ask, "Theek se aayega? Will it come correctly? Kuch hoega to nahi? What is your refund policy? What is your return policy?" That's the first thing. But if you say, "No, it's coming via Blue Dart," okay. Then we're fine. We know the delivery is like 1-2 days. You know, it's maybe 3-4 max stretch, and your package is safe. There are no issues as such, you know, luckily, touch wood, that we have ever faced. Just because we've been, like I said, like I proposed, right, that both the name, and then if you want, branch out into the wholesaler. So that way, we have not had any issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say more from, you know, coming back to instead of warehouse and logistics, if we actually come back to the online, the platform itself,
mm-hmm.
that actually requires At least in today's day and age, I would recommend about a couple of pointers for anyone who's starting e-commerce, apart from logistics, to also one, the main focus should be the market research that you do. Because the digital space right now is extremely, it's full. It's full. Anyone and everyone who can have a website and who can be online and who has a little bit of access to a delivery service can have their business online. So you're not, while the products may be niche, your product may have a USP, there are still multiple options for everyone. Today's day and age, if someone wants something, they just go Google it or, and it's on your mobile and it's there. It's on Amazon. You get five product options. You just go, you purchase. Everything is there. So,
Absolutely.
yeah, so it's com space that's completely taken by anyone and everyone. So a thorough market research, data collection is extremely imperative. So how do you do that? Essentially, with now, given the way technology is evolving, like about 2 years ago, the what AI was versus what it is now is very different. So AI integration is also imperative in today's day and age, because giving consumers an offline experience online now is becoming more, is like the most important thing if you want a purchase, unless it's a need-based product. It's very different. But when you have products that are more desire-based, want-based, then you have to be able to convince your client on the spot. So previously you asked me what was an issue maybe you faced. It's an issue, I wouldn't say issue, but it's a little speed bump, one could say, that one faces is especially because we're dealing with women, is while you see something online, and the first question you asked also, right? How do you take something, a product like this, online? While women may see something online, they still want to be able to touch it, to feel the fabric, to see
Absolutely.
what it looks like, to see maybe the fall of a sari. Will it make them look thin? Will it make them look bigger? Will it make them look taller or shorter? Will the lehenga color match their skin tone? Those kind of things. So what's becoming more, compared to also, what Blash does, which is videos on your e-commerce platform to assist, that is becoming more imperative right now to help you not just secure your USP online, but also bring an assurance and a trust in the consumer looking at it that, hey, what I'm looking at is good. And I don't have to physically see something. So that is something I would definitely, also other things like something that we obviously didn't have much issue with, but someone knew, payment gateways. Very important. You should know your currencies. You should know your exchange rates. You should know all of these things in advance so that tomorrow, you don't make those little small losses because something wasn't converted correctly.
Correct.
You
But
know,
I think
on
I
the
will have to have another dedicated discussion for the international trade, because that's another beast, many one would be, interested. I would want to, take up a funny incident. Probably it's not a learning, probably it's my initial blunders which I made. So when I was running my e-commerce store, so I am a guy who loves detailing and, the presentation part of it. And I went ahead and, ordered 500 hard boxes, like, premium boxes, for the clothing apparel. And when I started shipping, and the shipping cost was humongous, so my shipping provider used to say that, "Sir, why are you not giving it in a smaller pouch, right, or in a smaller pack?" I said, "No, I want to get that premium feeling." And eventually, over a period of time, when I consumed my 500 boxes, I could see that the margin dipped so low because the boxes were expensive, first of all, and of course, whether I'm spending, sending this small apparel for the kids or this big, right? My shipping cost is in it 200, 300, and when I used to hit returns there, I used to call them and mark. That's the which, I did, right? But if I have to set up my logistics stuff, right, like, this thing, right, anyone who's entering this thing, what would be your key advices here? How do you want to maintain your ROI, right? What are the secret sauce which, you have learned?
So when it comes to branding, which is where your packaging, et cetera, comes into play, unless your market is mass, given that I am a marketing graduate myself, and I believe that branding does hold, great value. So
Absolutely.
when it comes to the packaging, do I want to let go of my look and feel or compromise on it? Maybe not. Because there is a certain essence that comes in, so for example, so I'll tell you, in the age of Instagram, I think many people would have seen a lot of brands do those unboxing videos, open the packaging, show the product. So it's all about experience in today's day and age. It's all about experience. So what do you do basically with your logistics or things like that where you're not compromising the experience, right? Because it's always different when you receive something that looks a little more personalized than something that's general. If it had to come to packaging, we could even do cardboard boxes with like a Wappenware sticker on it and all of those tapes. You have those tapes with WW or your brand name, etc. And we could do all of that. But it's different when you're opening, a box that's gray in color, that's of a nice paper, and you open it and there's a ribbon on it, and then there's a nice, packaging inside of a softer paper, which then you open and everything is nicely done. It's a whole experience,
Absolutely.
maybe with the emblem is a little embossed, those kind of things. So then where do you essentially assist with your ROI? So like I said, can you possibly then, make your office space your warehouse? Can you do that? Can you, I would say cutting costs in that aspect helps you as well. A big thing again for us, like I'll highlight, is data. So if there's dis to reduce a lot of data discrepancy, like I said, the very small issues that can be very easily avoided. Like for example, what's online versus online, someone's ordered something online, but another person has come and purchased it in store. Those kind of things are just unnecessary. So I would say really, which also again going back to the market research, really look at who your consumer is. What will be okay, what will not be okay. Highlight for yourself or for someone who's running the business or just even the logistics warehouse, what are any possible issues? This is something that on a personal level I do a lot, where before something even starts, I make sure to highlight what are the possible issues that can come up. What is any discrepancy or anything that I have already faced with my consumers that could possibly lead to issues? Because they're very unnecessary. They're very unnecessary. You don't need that. So make sure that you're kind of prepared from that aspect. But also, because something that's e-commerce is extremely scalable, if branded correctly, if marketed correctly, so I would say don't worry too much. Think more long term than short term. And if you want to focus on ROI, then yeah, see where you can manage your costs. Are things really necessary? But don't compromise on the experience, because that is something that leads to a lot of customer retention, which is what you want. Because a business runs, a lot of a business can also sometimes run from your repeat consumers.
Okay. I think very, very insightful here. I think I'm enjoying this conversation, but in the interest of time, so one surprise section, which I added, right?
Okay.
It's a quick 4 to 5 questions, right? So I would love to know, or the listeners would love to know, what's a recent book that you're reading, or you recommend to our listeners.
Oh my God, this is a really bad question because I have not read any book in a very long time.
Any
I have not
of books?
read anything. I'm so tired after work. I just go home. I'm more of I like to consume. I like my TV shows. I like something that's very light-hearted. I'm not a reader currently.
Any e-commerce leader that you follow?
So I actually don't follow anyone. We obviously follow a lot of our competitors through a lot of research, but I don't follow anyone because what I'm doing is very unique to me, and I don't think anybody else is doing that out there.
Nicely put. Any e-commerce hack for the beginners who are, venturing in, or, something who want to start here?
E-commerce hack. Do not compromise on anything in relation to the product online. Details are a must. Look and feel, your shoots, your styling, how you show it out there is what the consumer will consume. So if you don't do a good job of it, it'll not bode well even on the brand.
Lovely. And last but not least, any insights about your life philosophy while we're talking about?
My life philosophy is very different to anything we have discussed so far, but I'm a very strong believer of just on a personal note, treating others the way you would want to be treated. That's very simple, but it's very different from any business related thing we've discussed.
It's a very deep statement in its own. And, to be very honest, I think I learned a lot, right, in this last 30 minutes of conversation. Truly thank you for taking some time out, Gaurika, right? It was a pleasure to
Absolutely.
have you on the show.